Paranormal Investigator Radio.
Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
Paranormal Investigator Radio on BBSRadio.com.
And welcome to another episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. I am Steve Roscoe, one of your hosts.
I'm Mark Berry.
I'm Peter Leonard.
I'm Mike Perillo.
And Larry O'Grady is currently
outside,
missing in action, but
yes,
we're
ready back.
He's looking at that incredible rainbow outside. Wow, I could almost said lightning low, but holy.
Well, let me get you guys the call-on soundbite in a second here just so you can get that as well. It didn't run through for me, so 1 second.
Phone lines are now open. In North America, call toll free 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
All right, there we go. There's the numbers for you. Just in case you want to call in and discuss some paranormal stuff with us, share some stories, or, well, I just want to call in and bug us. It's more than welcome as well.
I hope all of our listeners in Central New York are safe if you're listening to us. Steve and I almost got to go meet the wizard about an hour ago when the tornado updraft hit where we were standing.
I haven't ran that fast in a long time.
I don't run, but I did. Thank God we missed the hail. Did you see the size of this?
Yes.
I've always wondered what they meant by golf ball sized hail. Yeah,
it was, you had a mixture of some quarter size and it got pretty big in there. I mean, a couple of them looked pretty big.
At one point, I'm pretty sure a whole 12 pound bag of ice came down. Would you think it would
sure
hit my car,
fell.
Right? No.
It's always the other guy.
The best part up front was when we and Larry saw the sheet of rain coming down Dominic here. We decided we wanted to get in as fast as possible. I vaulted a fence. Larry started sprinting, and Mike's just standing there, cigar in mouth, opens the umbrella up, puts it up in front of him, kind of daring nature to get him wet. And I still, I mean, looking at him now, looking at him then, he has not a drop on, and I'm still soaked to the core at some parts.
I don't negotiate with terrorists, natural or not.
Well, there you go.
Let me see if I get a picture.
Looks like they're trying to get some pictures of the rainbow here outside.
Oh, there's a rainbow.
I suppose. I wonder if it's a double rainbow.
That's great. A double rainbow.
Double rainbow.
Wow.
Is that twice as much gold at the end?
I sure hope so. We'll be heading out right after the show with some gold.
That would be nice. Grabbing a couple of...
Well, then that hits throw you off. They stand on each other's shoulders and kind of, you know, big, a big coat. And...
Dear God, that's not a leprechaun. That's too tall.
This isn't any gold in here.
Turn away, lad. Turn away.
But yes.
So what do we got on tap for the night, gentlemen?
Well, we are probably going to tap into the tinfoil topics at some point here, or tales from the tinfoil, as we like to call it.
Tales
from the tinfoil.
Yeah, you got to touch on it. I mean, we did have the how to fold a proper tinfoil hat on a Facebook page for a while. But we'll touch on that, I'm sure, at some point. And I know we were discussing before the show went live the fact that the possibility of life being on Titan and how there seems to be this push for the possibility. Despite the fact that, I mean, the oceans are probably liquid methane, and if they're not, if there's any water there, either way, I'm sure it's mostly salt. So who knows? And we were discussing that. We were discussing something about Bigfoot as well. We'll probably touch back on that because that's always fun. But there's
something lovable about that big hairy guy.
I think that's what I have going for me. I mean, a big hairy dude. Overall, I mean, that and the fact that we wanted to let our viewers, yes, because you can see us through the radio, the listeners know that we do have a couple of major issues with the power and internet in the area because of the massive storms that have been rolling through. The one that hit us before, earlier today with the hail and the massive downfall of rain was rather ridiculous. You couldn't see 3 feet in front of you through the rain because of how thick it was, and we still have emergency services running about, which you should...
Did you probably hear?
You will definitely hear in the background because they are very loud, and we are very close to the road tonight.
Yes, they're not coming for us.
Yet. They haven't yet discovered why they want to come for us. But all in all, we just wanted to give you that heads up. In the event we do go dead on the air, well, we have dead air, or that we no longer.
We go dead through. On the air. Then.
If we do go dead on the air, and
well,
we
that's
send
a
flowers.
Story right there, isn't it?
Well, if we go to dead air and there's nothing coming through for a bit, we apologize. Please stay tuned. We'll be trying to get back on live. If we can't, well, stay tuned to BBS and listen to some of the awesome radio that comes on after as well. Other than that, thank you for listening this evening so far, and we'll do what we can to give you a good, wholesome night of paranormal topics. We'll talk about some of our events coming up again, as we always do, and we'll see what we can entertain you with.
Yeah, we got a lot of good events coming up too. So
absolutely, yes, we do.
And actually, this is your second time on the show.
Yes,
it might be my
your first
third, but check
their mother home.
One time, like, I just sat in a corner quietly and giggled a lot.
But we're glad to have you on, Mike, and we've got Larry on as well. So it's a good time.
Glad to be here.
You bet, Larry O'Grady here, coming at you.
The car bomb.
The Irish car bomber.
What?
The
no.
Irish car bomb.
That's
not. No, he's
me.
Not the car bomber. He's the Irish car bomb.
Oh, he's the Irish car bomber.
Yes, he doesn't bomb anything.
Listen, enough Irish car bomb.
Except for on stage. That's what I bomb. That's it.
Enough Irish car bombs. You can charge anything. You're good to go.
I've seen you twice. You're substantially funny.
Thanks, Pete. I killed last Thursday.
Substantially funny.
That's what people said to me. No. They were like, you killed. And I was like,
you're all right.
I don't know.
You're sort of
you know
okay.
What, Pete? That's kind of like saying, you know, Larry, I've seen you twice, and you're kind of good.
I know.
I mean, you're funny.
It wasn't meant that way.
Stand-up comic funny? I don't really know, but you're kind of funny.
You know what? Before we go into the possibility of tinfoil topics and other stuff we'll probably hit on this evening, we were talking before we slid over to the show about the interesting feasibility of most of the technology in Star Wars and Star Trek, and then some of the interesting bits from Star Wars. Without starting the argument up again in the near fist fight, as Steve was leaning over the table ready to beat Larry to death with the microphone. And
I thought we were talking about Bigfoot's beef stick.
Let's not talk about Bigfoot's beef
stick. Let's talk about the things that are a reality now from those shows.
Warp speed.
Actually, we're working on that.
Which is a huge possibility. Technology is the only problem right now.
Food synthesizing?
Food synthesis? We do have the ability to reproduce food through the stem cells of other foods, I guess, in that sense.
Straight up lasers.
The communicator.
Yeah, true. Very true. We're digital printing food at an easy state here. I mean, you could make a cheeseburger. Won't look quite like a cheeseburger, but it should taste somewhat like a cheeseburger from nothing and be just as wholesome.
If Dr. David ever got off a tiny, we can finally have that transporter.
That is true.
You know, that's one piece of equipment that I don't know if I want to check that out.
The transporter? I would gladly not be the person
to
try that.
It's going
to
take you apart.
Doesn't it like
take you apart and then reassemble you someplace else? Kind of scary.
Is it now is it reassembled? Because the original copy has to be destroyed.
Yeah, it doesn't transmit, right? Doesn't it destroy
well,
and then recreate
okay.
you?
So, is that you? Is it you?
Okay, just
a lot
you,
of people.
You
wait
think
a
it's
minute.
You, but it's
wait
not
a minute.
You?
You're getting to the idea there behind cloning and
just
such, too.
A lot of people, I'm sorry, Mark, I cut you off. A lot of people
Damn
are
Steve.
Saying, a lot of people that believe in the immortality of the soul say if it's taking you apart and putting you together someplace else, what happens to your soul?
Well, in the same sentence, they'll be the first people to tell you that they have no barriers, they have no time, they can travel massive distances instantly. So the body can't do it, but your soul can. So who's to say it doesn't go, oh, I'm over there now, and pops over?
Yeah, you know, right? who's
who
to
knows?
Say?
But then again, even excluding all that.
Quantum entanglement.
Maybe your soul is at that point.
Maybe
that's a quantum entanglement, a consciousness tied to another consciousness that's fully capable and aware.
And it just goes to that place.
It just says, oh, wait, I'm over here, and moves it.
Yeah.
Hey, who knows? Maybe. But considering the whole idea behind teleportation or transportation in the same sense, I do believe the Star Trek one was, it broke you down to a molecular level and then buffered Brain your data and sent you through.
Brain ball.
I couldn't see it. Oh, there it is.
Sent you through some means to a different location. It rebuilt you using matter somewhere else.
Yeah, that's what
and
I
we've always discussed. I mean, it's a scientific. I can't say discoveries. It's an idea we've had for a long time that we can transform what matter actually is made up right now, which I'm sure is somewhat what's behind the initial food replicator in Star Trek. Mm-hmm. It's kind of just saying, well, we're creating this from a saved file of Earl Grey tea, you know, or a cheeseburger. So it then just creates it from nothing. So if it's just breaking you down on a molecular level, so say the transporter phase one is a glorified Xerox machine. It makes a copy, scans you in and saves you, and then says, well, we're transporting them here, so then it manipulates matter and reproduces you in that location, then deletes the buffer just because they don't want to have an extra copy when you come
back.
What
if they don't delete that copy? What if they don't delete
well, the food?
Can they make a million of you?
In that same thought, I would say you should be able to, because you think about the food replicator, is probably the same technology. If there's reprinting you, yeah, you could pump out all kinds of food. So why can't you pump out 45 Larry's? I mean, that would just be
a McDouble machine.
Is that a racial slur? Like?
Earl Grey.
But it's just, it's an interesting bit. It's a possibility. I mean, well, possibility maybe not so much, but the idea behind it is really interesting. And then what will we be able to do with this technology? I mean, when you do transport somebody, the same question comes up: are you you? How do we digitize your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, your concepts? But we're trying to do that now, even still, with the gentleman who's trying to create an Android version of himself. He wants to upload his brain and be done. If we can do that, that'll be awesome.
And that's that, what is he? Is he Swedish?
I think he's Swedish, yes.
And have you heard him speak? Because he's crazy. He's crazy. He wants to live forever.
There's
a fine line between genius and insanity. This guy wants to
be
God. This is scary shit, man.
If he's got the money to push these concepts because he wants to live forever, I'm more than happy to let him do it. Because from the research that's being done that he's paying for, we've got new prosthetic limbs.
Yeah.
We've got new artificial organs that are being created because he needs these things. He wants the body to still act as a full body, whether or not there's any blood in it. It could be pumping oil for all he cares. As long as it's got lungs, heart, maybe not stomach, but I'm sure he probably wants that too. So they're recreating these fake organs that are being used to save people's lives. They're recreating these prosthetics that are fully usable on a human being using neural links. That stuff is amazing, and some of that research is coming from his projects.
I watched RoboCop. I watched the new RoboCop
which was really good. I liked
it. Did you like it? Because I fucking hated it. I'm sorry. All right, listen. He wakes up, and he's all upset about being an android? That's amazing. Why would you be upset about this? Why would you be, don't give me the, oh, because you can't love or this and that. Listen, you knew what you signed up for when you signed up for law enforcement, period. You knew that, all right? You knew that he could die. He didn't die, they saved his life, and he's all upset about it. He woke up a superhero. It's totally different from the old RoboCop. I love the old RoboCop. I really like the old RoboCop. This one, he's too much himself, and I don't know, because he's a crybaby. Ugh.
No sugar pill, Larry.
Even in the original one, he was torn because of what happened, and then
but
he sought revenge.
He didn't know he was who he was. That's the thing. That's where the conflict.
They
came.
Wanted to give him more of a consciousness in this movie, which was. To me, it was still a good movie. It gave a different reason for the drive and for what he did, but with the plausibility of how they rebuilt him, I mean, the surgery done on the brain both in the movie and just
the concept. They're really cool, like special effects.
It was cool special effects, but that we're so far from being able to actually do that. The manipulation of the brain, we still don't even know what every little. We've tracked down what most of it can do, but we're not entirely sure what. And why some parts do different things. We're not sure why someone who's autistic has massive sections of the brain that are being retasked to perform normal functions that or mathematical functions or musical functions that somebody else can't perform. Like parts of their speech will go right into mathematics. So instead of speaking with any clarity, they can ramble numbers. They could solve the hashing of my freaking.
Bank
card.
Government codes. But.
Right. So those awesome
kind of people that could build a rocket to Mars out of a toilet paper roll, but can't wash themselves.
Yes.
Right.
A friend of mine, he knew of a bunch of physicists. He went to school and he went through with a bunch of people studying physics and all sorts of shit. And he ended up. There was a funny story. He was talking about how this guy he couldn't comprehend how to make a turkey sandwich. There was turkey, there was bread, there was cheese. This guy is, I mean, I don't know what the math this guy's doing, but it's ridiculous. And he can't make a turkey sandwich. or peanut butter and jellies. He has no idea how to do simple everyday things.
There are people I speak to on a daily basis that I don't believe actually practice or I have the ability to comprehend common sense. So, and then common sense to different people is different things. So yeah, I believe it entirely. Quick input from the stream chat there. Once you duplicate, at that moment you duplicate, you become two separate people through the transporter, right? So if you were to be duplicated and move somewhere, the version of you that's created, would that be murdering somebody? Because you're scanning and destroying the matter that someone currently is.
Has anybody ever seen The Prestige? Because they...
Yes, it's a really good movie too.
I love
Hugh Jackman, right?
Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale.
Yes.
Hugh Jackman and Christian
because
Bale.
Because he was creating... I don't remember when.
Nikola Tesla's in it. David Bowie plays Nikola Tesla.
Yeah, once you get into... If you're killing the original copy for the new one, by the time you get to that level of technology, you have to redefine laws as to what makes...
Absolutely, and I agree.
What makes you you.
We ruined the movie already just by talking about...
True,
how
true, true.
And
like Fight Club.
Tesla's
invention.
Tesla's invention was it was duplicating a person. It was creating a duplicate. It wasn't teleporting you. It was making a new you.
It was making a new you in a
but
separate place.
The best part was he didn't know which one was really him at that point because the new one has a full consciousness, thinking for itself. It's fully
he
capable.
He thinks it's him. It's
well,
everything
it is.
Everything that's teleported.
It
is exactly his memories. Everything put together.
Consider it. It is taking him from the moment it makes the copy, and placing that new copy somewhere else. So both copies.
Movie with Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Okay.
Both copies fully believe that they're the original, have all the previous memories.
Yep.
And at that point, you're thinking, where's that gun? Where's the iron pipe? What am I going to do to get out of this? Because I know the other one wants to kill me because it wants to kill the other one. So that thought, I mean, what are you...
But they only cover that in like a quick second in the movie. But
it's
still,
enough
it's,
to convey
it's enough.
It. So it is really cool. And you...
May Steve and I interject?
Absolutely not.
In the world of Star Trek... When Captain Kirk was stuck in the transporter,
oh, the buffer
it
there?
Physically made two copies of him, one evil
right.
And
was
one
the
good.
With
yeah.
Spock.
That was the mirroring universe one, but the one you're talking about.
So season one, I'm pretty sure, because he had that. When you showed me your uniform there, that was the uniform
yeah,
he was wearing.
Was in, yeah.
That's that's an interesting idea.
That
I mean,
and they had
Jon Favreau.
Can we get this creepy clown off the screen?
That's Jon Favreau. Jon Favreau, he was on Seinfeld.
Yeah,
he played the clown.
Care. We just don't need the creepy clown staring
in the episode of The Fire.
But basically what they had to do, they put both Captain Kirks on the transporter and transported them back into one.
Combine the sequencing and the buffer.
If I'm not mistaken, within.
Yeah.
The episode.
That's an interesting. But then
that was the one where he also raped Yeoman Rand.
Oh, nice.
The one that came back first was the good one, had all of his good qualities, and the second one that came back, the second one that came back
yeah,
was
like,
his evil side. So yes, quite interesting.
And I just wondered, did you gentlemen see the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger about that? I forgot what that was. It called Sixth Day or something?
Yes.
Where they kept making clones?
Yep.
Van Damme.
It was called Terminator 2.
Well,
it was Terminator 2.
Replicant was like that one Van Damme was saying.
It was in Sixth Day. They were flash growing or quickly growing clones. And that's a similar concept, is I guess. Instead of it being a transporter breaking it down, making a copy instantaneously of that current version of you, it was growing a clone, and then it was flash teaching it memories and information it needed to know to fulfill whatever it was doing in your life.
That movie didn't scare me when I seen it as a kid.
No.
So now you're going to get the like Blade Runner,
oh, yeah.
Do Android Dream Electric Sheet kind of.
Does anybody know what Blade Runner is about?
Blade Runner?
I've never seen Blade
if
Runner.
You watch it with the director, with the not the com, the director's cut that has the actual commentary that he's supposed to be the self dialogue.
No, that's the.
Oh no, the non-director's cut.
Theatrical one.
Right.
Narrates.
If you watch it without that, it's amazing because it's a totally different story.
The core of the show is what defines humanity.
Right.
What separates a clone that is grown and only has like 5 years to live? Is he property or is he a person? Like, what defines who's who? And it deals with a lot of characters in the show that aren't sure if they're replicant or don't know, because just because you have memories, they don't guarantee either.
That was a popular topic for a while. Bicentennial Man, Robin Williams,
oh, they
the same
put
thing.
Memories in,
he
so
made himself human.
They could accrue you yesterday,
AI.
Gave you 40 years worth of memories, and he was like, well, from a certain standpoint, is Pete a real person because he's only a day old, as opposed to, well, you're like, I have 40 years worth of memories, of course.
All right.
It deals a lot with identity and...
It's interesting. It really does. It covers...
Pretty much what defines being human. The whole soul question, you know, if you grow somebody in a test tube, do they have a soul? If the soul exists? What,
yeah, but you don't necessarily have to grow a whole human. You can grow an arm. You can grow a heart. You can grow
a... No, but that's just what...
You can graft and grow pretty much.
Oh, yeah. But it's like, that's always the conflict. What makes you, you? And I, like, when that comes up with cloning, why not just grow an arm if someone lost an arm? Why not just grow a heart? Why do you have to grow the whole human? On the island, on that movie, The Island.
Yes.
They did the same thing. Oh, you get to go to an island, but they go, and they're cut them apart for their actual counterpart, their doppelganger.
Right.
I would imagine, because you probably...
Doppelganger.
Like, if you create a doppelganger of you, like if we create you... And
we don't use that.
He has
You lose your arm and we cut it off, we'll clone you. It probably has a better chance of sticking than if we just cloned an arm and tried it.
Even if you clone it with the person's genetics, but yeah, you're right. It probably would have a better chance if it's a living specimen fully interacting and utilizing it. The muscles in the arm would be proper. The heart would even be beating properly if it was a heart, say. But I also think it falls in the line that, well... I pay to have this clone of me available in case I get into a car accident. And then I need a liver, a lung.
Yeah, plus we got the rest of you.
Right. So, oh my God, I lost a leg. They go get the leg from the guy, they'll leave me in a room without a leg. And then when I need a heart in 25 years, they give me that heart.
Well, you take the arm, you kill the clone, kill the clone, get rid of it, make another clone.
You pretty much take the arm.
Yeah, but if it takes 10 years to grow, sick, I'm sure they weren't flash grown like overnight.
Well, they were in the Matrix, aren't they?
Well, those weren't clones necessarily.
They were just people growing up in a test.
They went through the natural birthing process or somewhat like it.
Somewhat, yeah.
But it is an interesting concept. Back to the Star Trek technology
well,
here.
It's an interesting conversation.
We're in a philosophical conversation.
Because technology is finally getting to the point.
Technology is redefining what we believe to be human.
Technology is slowly starting to
catch up to people's imagination.
It's
yes.
starting to butt heads with
everything.
With what we were just saying, with philosophical...
Philosophy.
Way more futuristic.
It's starting to really butt heads with, is this right? Is it not right?
You're running into a morality complex because you have technology that allows you to bypass, surpass, or completely ignore morals in many senses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the biggest problems we used to have is like the idea that someone who's paralyzed can't ever walk again.
But then again, we're talking about,
and now,
should someone live forever?
But,
should they?
Well, why not?
Should you?
Why shouldn't you?
Why not?
I mean, there's a reason. There's
over
a reason.
The, over
a
the
life
last
cycle.
Couple hundred, well, yeah, over the last couple hundred years, our life cycles increased exponentially.
How do we know? How
massively.
Can we be so stubborn and say we know that this is it? How do you not know that your consciousness is not like it can be survive on separate different planes? How do you like when I die? I'm not scared of dying.
No.
I welcome it. Whatever. You know, it'll happen. No, it happens to everybody.
I welcome death.
I'm not scared of it. That's the thing. And only because what is after? What?
Here's,
and that's why we do this. See, that ties me back.
Yes.
What?
No, if you think, we'll stay on philosophy for a little bit here at this point. But now, taking, I know Steve wants to talk. I'm sorry, I don't want to over-talk.
I'm sorry, Steve.
If you take into consideration the idea that we are bound to die eventually, if we ignore that, if we don't die, if we find a way around it, what are we denying? What? I mean, if you believe in some faith that brings you to an afterlife or that your soul has to go somewhere, what's to say that you should be punished for extending your presence longer?
I'm not saying punished.
Here's a thought too, gentlemen, that if you believe in reincarnation, aren't you already living forever?
Yeah, that's a good point. Because you're until you reach enlightenment.
But until you reach a certain point.
What if you're one of those people who believe in reincarnation? Absolutely. You're not the guy trying to live forever by making a cyborg body.
Exactly.
The guy making the cyborg body is the guy who doesn't believe in anything outside of him. So he's not missing out on anything.
Very true. And, well, okay. Just considering all of what's going on with that and the idea that either there's somewhere our consciousness is supposed to go or not go, or we might be going to another plane of existence or reincarnation.
Can I just ejaculate the number out here for anybody
Please
who wants
don't
to call
ejaculate
on?
The number, but feel free to give us a call if you have input on this discussion. We would welcome the debate, discussion, or otherwise input.
And these fine you not what? these fine United States and or Canada. 1-888-429-5471.
Can you give us those again real quick, Pete?
1-888-429-5471, and our gracious host Don will plug you right in.
Yes, I know, I'm going back to fix that. But yes, please feel free to give us a call if you want to discuss this with us, have some input for us, or have just what's your take on the idea?
Or have you lived forever?
Yeah,
we definitely want to talk to you.
There are, yes, absolutely.
Yes.
There
if
are,
you have lived forever, please give us a call. We really want to talk to you.
I don't care either way.
No, I know.
I'm just saying,
from what I gather,
because that's what people would say. Should you or shouldn't you?
Right.
I don't care. If you want to live forever, be my guest. I don't. Forget that.
Exactly. In the same sense, though, I mean, when medicine first started improving life, and this is just my argument against the idea of should you, or not against, but for should you, I guess. When medicine started improving our lives and making us, you're truly giving us the opportunity to live longer, why is it that we have...
life expectancy early 1800s was like 40 at
right.
the most.
Yeah. Well, why is it, well, if you made it past your mid-20s, you could live quite a while. It wasn't necessarily as short, but even then, more dangerous jobs, less medicine, less available care in general. Why is it that it wasn't viewed the same way when suddenly, oh, we live to 80, we live to 90. Why isn't that now, oh, you've doubled your lifespan. Why are you? So if I decide to say I'm gonna live to 350, who's to say, well, you shouldn't? Well, if I'm not going to, if by their same thought process, if I shouldn't, that means I'm not supposed to. If I'm not supposed to, I won't. So that same thought process, where do they have the ability to even argue it?
Yeah. Especially if you can do it in, such as a cyborg body or clone body, where
right.
you're not, the guy laid in the hospital for 300 years just in like a coma,
there's a,
just refusing to die.
On the idea of living forever, there's a book, it's a really good book by Kevin J. Anderson called Hopscotch. It's just an interesting concept where you can psychically effectively transfer bodies. Body snatchers, I guess, a little bit.
We did have one touchdown.
Tornado did touch down. Nice.
Where was it?
Out towards Corton, George Upper. There's a lot of trees and stuff down.
The idea is you transfer your being into someone else, and you can use it for all kinds of purposes, whatever. But people would at some points transfer into somebody else and never go back, a younger version, a younger person, and live another 30, 40, and do it again, and then it again, to live forever. That would be morally wrong in my sense.
You're well, you're stealing from someone
right.
else.
So
yeah.
that type of stuff, it would play in if that was the case. But there's just all kinds of views of those things, and that's one of those topics very rarely come up in discussion. Which is why it's important for us to do that. But anyway, putting philosophy slightly to the side, we'll come back to it, I'm sure, and if anybody wants to call in and discuss it with us, please feel free. We'll move on to the next Star Trek piece of technology that appears to be
universal
science fiction becoming fact or possibility. You've got the Universal Translator here, which was one of the devices it had handheld that let people speak, and it would give them the translation through so they could understand people. Effectively decoded alien language in real time. I'm pretty sure your iPhone or Android can do this now for you too. And there's a lot of things. There's the voice translator app by Trailer Apps that has 71 languages. I actually had a Klingon to English book when I was younger. A translation.
I have one of those.
Yeah, I had one for a while.
Matter of fact, I think you gave me one.
I think that might be the one I gave you.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a good book.
Steve, I figure you can just speak Klingon anyway.
Oh, absolutely. I'm already starting to get
the
ridges.
Steve's growing the ridges. He's banging his head against the kitchen counter to apply the ridges every night.
They're just, you know, it's very painful.
But the fact that we now have something like that, yeah, it was an amazing concept and device that solved the problem that existed back in the time of, Star Trek was written in the 70s, 60s?
60s.
So in the 60s, I mean, I'm sure it was a concern then, so he developed a device that took the place of a human translator. But Star Wars had C-3PO.
Star Trek has Data.
Yeah, well, Data's Data. Right. Let's see.
Data would...
The other one, we have the tablet computers. Yes, as Steve holds
We've
up
We've already
his,
got one right here, yeah.
Yeah, as Steve holds up his iPod, or iPad, or the heck it is. So we've got tablet computers, pads, what were they called? They had the was a tricorder even, I think, would fall into the same category.
I think a tricorder is more of a scanner.
It scans to see who's in the area or what have you. Yeah,
we even have that stuff. So, I mean, we have tablet computers now. They've become commonplace. Kindle Fire, whatever it is. They have got the Amazon one there.
The Nook.
You've got a bunch of them. And you've got iPads and Android tablets, Samsung Galaxy Pad, all those fun things. And they're just amazing. People use them mostly for toys and such, but they've been put into practical use. But then even for the last, two, three decades? Two decades at least, we've had UPS walk around with their
scanner
that you sign. That was step one in the process.
The whole UPC barcode thing.
Right.
Yep.
So you've got the app opportunity for these things, and the fact that they're becoming real is just always interesting. Actually, I think a lot of these tablets have, and phones, have tricorder apps anyway. So they just mimic the Star Trek tricorder. Speaking of which, the tricorder was one of the devices as well, which more or less covers our scanners. I mean, like you said, it picks up different fields and people, motion detection scanners.
That's effectively half of our equipment right there.
Yeah, about
pretty
much.
Well, medically, we're not too far away from that. They do have the chips that they can put in people that monitor vitals and all these other.
The ARFID chips?
Is that what they're called?
Well,
that middle finger for me? Or
no.
Okay,
no,
not just like. Because it's on like Donkey Kong. If it is.
They have potential. ARFIDs are used for multiple purposes, but they do have the potential to broadcast that data back out, which is nice. And it gives people the ability to have a medical chip implanted that says, when your heart rate increases, it sends an alert to your phone and says, tells you to stop being stupid.
Basically, if you got a flu shot, the government put one in you already.
I don't doubt it. Don't get me started on it.
Is it time for tinfoil?
Don't get me started on it because he's all in my mind.
Look at his eyes.
He's all weird and stuff.
He's a race car in the red right now.
He's got a whole bunch of weird in his eye.
I don't like knowing that when I ended up getting my vaccinations when I was little.
You actually got
there's a 90% chance that something was put into you. Something, some kind of badge, some kind of identification that this is you. And you are on file somewhere. I have no doubt in my mind that that's possible. That's 100% possible.
Sure.
And because it's possible, how could it not have happened?
We already are, all of us.
Well,
government knows where all of us are at all times.
And ladies and gentlemen, tales from the tinfoil.
We are being scanned now,
right,
and you don't even know it.
Let me put this in perspective for you. If you're carrying a cellular phone right now, you're absolutely capable of being tracked, on or off.
Exactly.
Battery,
so what's the point of fighting it? It's because they already did it when you had no...
Even if the battery is removed, on or off, the device can technically give away your location. Does that really matter? Yes and no. I mean, I have a cell phone in my pocket that's not tied to my name or my identity in any way whatsoever. I call it a burn phone because it's exactly that. If I need to, I can throw it in the river and never care again. Is it because of this reason? Well, yeah, I guess so. Maybe a little bit. I don't want them to know where I'm at. But I also work for the government, so they got my fingerprints on file. They know everything about me if they want to. It doesn't matter. I am not capable of escaping them. I haven't been vaccinated in a couple of years.
You
kind of
sound like 007. I work for the government, and my phone's not tied to me. I can throw it away and not care.
Are we in tinfoil? Are we?
Oh yes, we're fully blown into the tinfoil topics now.
If you join the military, Larry, the anthrax shot is mandatory. You are not allowed to not take that. It is a mandatory shot. What is in that? That I've always told these guys. Even as we as civilians, if we deployed, we had to get the anthrax shot. Now, Wolf Sorter's disease is not that common. And with the hype from 9/11, which I think was all horse hockey myself, but what's in these shots? It's a mandatory, and they tell you, you will be court-martialed if you refuse an anthrax shot. When has anthrax ever been used in battle with us? Other than the horrible music. Oh,
hey.
Oh, I mean.
Listen,
they're not that bad.
I guess. I was opened up.
They had a couple two-tree songs.
Two-tree songs.
Yeah. Was it called The Needle in Your Arm? Or Wool Sword? Glanders. Glanders is a disease you want to watch out for.
What is that?
It's from horses. Oh, it's a very hot, toxic biological warfare weapon.
Apparently, there are a lot.
my bars from these chairs.
Okay, Larry just had his ass cramp. We thought he was going to go on a rampage.
We weren't sure where he was going. No.
Sort of like that movie Gone Postal, if you gentlemen have seen that, which was ironically actually a good movie. Is that Captain Kirk bleeding from his titties?
Chest, yes. It was discussing the hypospray. Actually, since we're talking about government inoculation, we can still kind of tie in the Star Trek a little bit there. Our United States government's actually using hyposprays, similar to Star Trek hyposprays in the sense where it's using subcutaneous...
Is that first aid spray?
Yeah, well, no, not necessarily. It's a high-pressure jet of the medicine being forced through your pores.
No needle, just yet.
Needleless. It's subcutaneous, I believe it was.
It
blasts air, pretty much, full of this drug into your system, which is, I guess it works. I mean, they also have that mosquito needle now that's got the barbs on it, so you don't feel it, just like a mosquito bite. But who knows? They've got a lot of interesting technology, actually. And it's a fun thing to see some of that stuff, but the practical uses of it would be amazing if it was ever actually released to the public. But
yeah.
Now, you can't ARFID with hyperspray, just so you know, Steve. So maybe that's why they're not using it full bore yet in the what's that called when they first joined?
I forgot.
Yes, it's called something, but whatever.
Indoctrination.
When
they
other
enlist.
Than indoctrination.
When they enlist.
Enlistment, yes, right after enlistment, your initial vaccines and everything. They're still using needles. Maybe there's a reason for that.
Helps the chip slide easier into your arm.
Now, ARFIDs have a lot of potential, though, too. There was a doctor, Professor Kevin Warwick, I do believe, as I swallow wrong, the University of Reading in England. He was using ARFIDs to transmit signals to his office, pretty much, in the building. So when he walked in, the door opened for him. Similar to how your car works now, like some of these cars, that when you hit the button, it turns on, it moves the seat to your position, turns the radio on. He would walk in, as the door would open as he gets there, it would say, you know, good morning, it would turn the lights on for him. Interesting stuff. But that also means it has proximity tracking. It knew he was there. So the ideas for it obviously have potential, both things that could help with your life.
That's my gripe with like the Xbox Kinect.
Oh,
is it's like constantly scanning you, like.
You said lean a little closer.
It's like always scanning you. You're always on. Like, I tend to talk with my hands, and there's been so many times I've been watching TV.
So effectively, if you're Italian, don't buy the Xbox.
Don't buy Kinect. Yeah. And I just, you know, make an appointment, a story, and next thing I know, it'll show him watching this fast forwarding, rewinding. And I didn't know
that
the Kinect was on.
That could be a concern. The Xbox, and there's two points here I'm going to put in real quick. The Xbox One Kinect primarily has a much better recognition system. It actually won't take a voice command from you if you're not looking at the screen. It knows if you're looking at the screen. So if you're talking to your buddy and say, hey, my Xbox does this,
scary.
And all of a sudden,
that's
bam.
Still scary.
But,
or the
kind of creepy,
like,
isn't it?
Well,
it
yes.
takes pictures, like when you're playing Kinect games,
mm-hmm.
it takes pictures of you and like puts them on the internet without.
No, it does it, not without your permission. You can have it do those things. You can tell it, like when it says to record, which I'm still seriously wondering why Twitch doesn't have a dedicated channel to like the Xbox Fitness game on streaming live. Because I can imagine there'd be hundreds of thousands of viewers there. I might just do that without my shirt on for a while to get people to stop watching Twitch. But as it stands, though, I mean, the thing is, yes, technically always on. And your Xbox as well is also hooked up to the internet. Now, if it's always on, people always say, oh, it's spying on you. It's just, that's not transmitting any data at any point in time. The packets in and out, which have been monitored to see if it is, people have actually tried to bust this. It's sending no real data out at any given time. The only thought that people have is that with the 250 gigabyte hard drive it comes standard with, or 256, I think, it has this all the space it could use. What if it's saving those videos and uploading them during an update? And that's the only feasible possibility, but it doesn't even listen to your conversations. It listens for one keyword. It's like sitting in a room and when someone says your name, you go, wait, what was that? And you now have heard your name because it's what you wanted to hear, but the rest of the conversation was obscure. You knew nothing of it. You weren't even aware they were talking until you heard your name. That's what it's doing. It's like a loyal dog. It's just there wagging its tail until you say, you know, hey, let's go out for a walk. And it says, oh, my God, yes.
Unless you talk with your hands.
Yes. Do not look at the screen and talk with your hands during the show because you're going to be fast-forwarding, stopping, pinching, whatever the heck they call it. When it first came out, I actually had to ask that question of their Xbox support team. I said, so what happens if I'm currently using the Xbox Kinect and frantically doing some kind of activity when it decides to go back to my home screen? They weren't too keen on the question.
So for the last 10 minutes, can I engage
10 minutes?
In a paranormal thing?
10 minutes or so.
Can we talk about paranormal?
Yes, let's go to paranormal, actually, because we can talk everything else.
Why would we want
to
do that?
So Steve had an interesting flirty-do come up this week. And this is something for groups coming up and stuff. Got called by a child asking for help. That their parent is practicing something they shouldn't. And they're afraid. They were less than 18, I believe.
Really? See, I was told she was 20. But
okay, was she?
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest with you.
But we have had kids call before on behalf of, well, no, they're just kids calling, wanting help. That's really a conundrum, because what do you do? You know, I'll leave it to you guys.
It's hard, you know, no, because it's hard, because even if the kid, her child is 20, and the homeowner doesn't want us there, and that's what this case was. The homeowner says, we want no part of this. We want no part of these people in my house. So she's calling.
This is what they said already.
Yes. So she is supposedly, the mother is into some weird stuff. I'm not going to say on the air. And here it is.
She plays,
you know,
bingo.
We're going to, yes, bingo. We were going to meet her at a public place. And she's canceled and rescheduled, and she's canceled, and she wants to meet us again. And you know, right now we're at this point where there's nothing we can really do. Okay, we'll meet with you, but you know, since your mother, the homeowner, doesn't want us.
So the daughter wants to meet with you.
Yes.
Okay.
They don't want us. Your mother don't. The homeowner doesn't want us at the house. We can't go there. That's the rule. So, what do you think?
We absolutely have no right to go
there. You're really
well, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I mean, it's a shame that we can't do much, but that's how that goes sometimes.
We are faced with a conundrum in that situation.
Yes, we are.
Well,
if anybody's listening,
you
want to
help?
If the daughter was under 18, no, absolutely not. We're not even going to meet the daughter. But she's 20. If she's 20, we can meet her at a public place and discuss. But this is as far as we can go with it.
Okay. With what we do, we aim to help people. And if someone's asking for help, we always want to help people. And that no matter the situation, if it's a child calling because their parents are involved in bingo at this point, whatever it is, whatever the situation is, and they want some kind of answers or interjection, it is a good point. We really don't have the right to approach these people because, one, we can't take any kind of case on behalf of a child directly, because again, it's a minor. It's not a legal opportunity we have in the state, so we don't have, and nor are we any kind of professional service at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Our only possible avenue at that point is to really direct them to someone they think would be more effective. I don't want to say it the way I want. I don't want to say it in a sense that I'm suggesting it, but either direct them to speak with some kind of professional in the sense of
therapist,
if it comes down to that, but then they have their parents for that too. But if it's something they're calling us about, if they're feeling threatened or scared, they probably, if they're underage, we really probably should contact child services. I mean, I know it's not something I normally would suggest, but if it's enough to make them call us because they're frightened, truly scared, that might be an avenue they can take. There's always another option, because we can't really do anything at that point, and nor can we really call. That's not our place. I don't suggest it lightly, especially though, because how popular this stuff can be, people can call frightened, with quotes there, I guess, or people can call with issues and not really know what's going on, or not really know what's... Mm-hmm. So if it's something that's truly... If your parents are sacrificing goats in the living room, I mean, at that point, you might want to make the call.
I will tell you, though, that goat meat is phenomenally delicious.
If they are butchering goats, that's different.
I believe if they're sacrificing goats, they do have the right to religious freedom.
They do. But if it's frightening the child, that child has right to seek help too.
Well, yeah,
we can't provide that help, but yes, if it's, well, some sacrificial actions aren't permitted in that same sense. Like Sangria gets persecuted so badly because of a lot of their stuff they do. But if it's protected,
Santeria,
not Sangria. Sangria is the drink. Some people use sangria all the time. It's just the magic it works isn't quite the same. But no, Santeria. I apologize. I should have known. I do know the difference. I just wasn't thinking when I said it. But they catch trouble for it all the time.
Yeah.
So if it's something that truly is frightening the child needs an avenue out, there's other family they can speak to, I'm sure. And if there's not, then there's other avenues.
Spanish Inquisition.
The Spanish Inquisition could be very handy. I mean, contact an Inquisitor and they'll come and take care of the problem for you post haste. But
witch finders.
Yes. The problem I have, though, is if they're calling us, how much is it because they actually need help? That even comes down to a lot of our cases. I had a kid calling me after one of our presentations. She was no older than maybe 15, 16 years old. And she called me a good dozen or two times, starting at 10 and then well into the early hours of the morning, asking me, or distraught, because she claimed to have something in her, like at first she said ghost, then it progressed into demon, then it progressed into specifically an incubus and what an incubus was. I'm not one comfortable talking to anybody, especially underage, about what that is in that sense. if you're well over the age of 18, I'll be more than happy to explain to you what that stuff is, because at that point, I'm not worried about it. It's not my place to talk about that stuff with somebody, especially a minor. Two, that definitely wasn't something that was spurred by an accurate belief. That was because you
they were just
it was a, it was a group of kids who were seeking some kind of entertainment, and I'm sorry, that's not what I'm there for at that point. That hotline was there to help the people needed assistance. So that stuff happens all the time. That's my major concern, is it really somebody seeking help? And if they are, then we can direct them to other avenues, but we can't really take action.
Yeah. It's really all we have.
Unfortunately, anyway. I would love to be able to contact the parents and say, hey, listen, you know, something's going on, bothering me. If the kid calls and says they have a ghost in their house or something, maybe then we can contact the parents. It's different than the parents doing something. But if they say that they don't want any interest, they have no interest in it, then we don't touch.
Is it religious reasons?
No, really, no. We'll discuss it.
I'm unaware of the case itself. This particular case, I don't know anything about.
Well,
so
we don't have to give out names. We don't have to talk about the names and give out their stats.
The mother is
Larry
practicing
Wiccan.
Right? Wiccan, yes.
No,
well, man, I can't say Wiccan because she said witch.
Witch.
Say witch.
She said witch, yes.
And surprisingly, there's a big difference.
Yeah. So,
now, same would go for apartments.
This
is another dilemma we face all the time when we have apartments.
Yep. Mark and my cousin were case managers before I was, and they had a strict rule that you had to have the owner's permission before you went into investigation. And when I took over, I relaxed those rules, because cases at that time were hard to come by. So I kind of relaxed those rules. And now that another individual, Jen, has the case managing position, where she agrees that we should revisit those rules and
we really need to readdress those rules.
Yes.
And that's the thing, that rule is only in place because of both liability and the idea of
New York State stigmatized
property law.
Yep.
And that exists in the sense that we can go in somewhere and we can tell the people that, hey, that knocking you hear is your pipes. This sound over here is this. This smell is this. This image you're seeing is this. This explain everything away. But now we've been there. And no matter what we tell them, if they start saying, oh, we had a paranormal team come in and they said it's haunted, whether or not we said that, it can still fall on us when that home loses value because of that, if it does. So and even if it doesn't lose value because of it, they can say we've stigmatized the property by even being there, which is why before we'll do any case,
well,
we verify that they're the owner of the residence, and if they're not, we need the owner's permission. All we need to do is have them sign off on the form, and I'm more than happy to go in.
There is a law that is in place in Massachusetts that if you are selling a home or you're renting an apartment, you have to tell them that it's haunted if you believe that
Correct.
It's legitimately haunted. And it starts with an M, and I can't remember the name of it, but I think the name of it starts with an M. It's something's bar, something.
Isn't that here in New York State too? No.
Yes, the New York State stigmatized property law.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yes.
So
yes,
if you do believe that your house is haunted, you sell it or you rent out an apartment knowing that there is some kind of odd phenomenon, paranormal activity happening in this apartment.
It falls under disclosure in New York State, but the stigmatized property law covers all kinds of things, which includes murders in the home, deaths in the home, It also includes criminal stigma, debt stigma, minimal stigma of certain sorts, murder, suicide, phenomena stigma, which covers hauntings, ghost sightings, etc. That's our problem, is the phenomena stigma. If we confirm something is going on there and we can't explain it, it's technically on the owner to at least recognize that if there's something there in that sense. Do they have to accept it? No. Is our proof, as I, well, I mean, it's not really proof, is our data provable? No. So it's a very touchy thing.
I think the house that led to that was the Amityville house.
Yeah.
Was the stigmatized property.
On the thing you were just on, Mark, that's what they mentioned. They said Amityville.
Right.
They mentioned that.
Oops.
Actually, when we were selling our childhood house, my childhood house, the last question on the real estate questionnaire said, does any paranormal activity occur, paranormal or supernatural phenomena occur on or about the premises? Yes or no? That could just be that company, but I mean, how many people probably just look at that laugh and glance over?
In Massachusetts, apparently, there's a property being psychologically impacted. Is it considered a material fact to be disclosed? So it's interesting. Huh. It seems that ever since the massive popularity of this field, that we've seen a lot more law being manipulated and all that manipulated.
The thing is, a lot of people aren't afraid to talk about it now.
Which is nice, but that also brings into play, you know, when somebody tells me, oh, this house is haunted before I buy it, is it going to affect the value? That's where the New York State stigmatized property law comes into play.
Like, as soon as you meet somebody and tell them what we do, you always get that one. It's like, oh, you gotta check out my house. I swear, everyone's house.
It's
like,
either that
everybody's
or it's
house.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
yeah.
It's either that kind of attitude.
I know somebody who says that every time you present them something like that.
Oh, man. You guys and your ghosts.
Yeah.
You explain to them what we do, and then they're like, that's actually kind of boring. Never mind.
Again, you find any ghosts yet?
Yeah.
You know they're not real, right?
I've seen stuff that'll turn you green.
So I keep telling all my friends who don't believe in anything. I'm like, the minute I find a ghost, I'm sending it to your house.
We've got friends in dead places.
Yes. Friends in dead places.
I've got friends in dead places.
I like
places.
That.
Huh?
I like
the
that.
Astral flows.
Oh dear lord.
And the goo.
Ectoplasm flows and the beer tastes like, I don't know.
You lost the Larry.
Wow, that's really,
Well, what better way to close out Paranoia Investigation Radio?
Paranoia Investigation Radio.
Paranoia.
Or you can come to speak to paranoid people, apparently.
So should we close quick? Next week.
Were you talking about me, Mark? Were you talking about me? Is that who you're talking about? You're talking about
me. Yes, I'm talking about you.
Oh,
we have a couple things to.
He's off his meds,
folks.
Yes.
So I got to do this fast, like the Speed Machines guy. Okay, Larry will be playing wherever he's playing Thursday night. Make sure you go out and see him where he's playing.
Syracuse, Georgia Days, West Van Street.
Be there. Be square.
7:30.
Okay. Next Wednesday will be the Rome, New York Farmers Market. We'll be set up. We'll be selling tickets for the John Zaffis event, which is on August 2nd. We have a handful of VIP tickets available. We also have outdoor booths. August 9th will be the Dunkirk Lighthouse Festival. It will be outdoor, that I just found out, so that should be interesting, especially if we have a tornado microburst. Then the week after, on August whatever it is, a Saturday, 16th, Rich and Dave will be giving his presentation on Sasquatch and his big beef stick. Then we go into September. We have the Finger Lakes Paracon, Scaracon, the second week of September. And then Gloversville fundraiser museum
in
October 25th. Yes.
I forget about that. Can't wait.
Yep. We're looking forward to seeing you guys out and having fun with it.
Plus a ton of investigations, and Steve will be auctioning his sexy body off for the Livestrong fundraiser event.
Yes.
That's a fact.
We'll be doing our best to see if we can get him.
That'll get a whole $1.25.
We know 12 women that are going to be bidding
against
you.
Mike's going to be auctioning off.
You're in the auction too, Mike?
Yes.
The eligible bachelors of the pair.
There's a real.
Buy a share of Lord Admiral Halifax Warburton. All right, folks, thanks for listening. Again, I'm Mark Berry.
I'm Steve Roscoe.
I'm Peter Leonard, and thank you, BBS Radio.
I'm Larry O'Grady.
And I'm Mike Perillo.
Thank you for joining us next time, and
stay spooky, everyone.
gotta get up. My body is yelling.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.